Welcome to Right Damn It with me, Zoe Richards, your host for the podcast that's all about books, writing them, reading them, and getting our heads around getting the writing done. Episode 89, and today is the start of the rejection series. Actually, I sounded a bit too chirpy for that, didn't I? I'm sorry, folks. This is the rejection series. So what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks is rejections and how we can actually manage that whole process of being part of a business that is based on being rejected. That is the fact that surrounds what we do as a writer. First off, then, it's worth thinking about, why are we writing? I remember talking to a friend last year who said that she realised she'd got caught up in all of the excitement and enthusiasm about trying to get an agent, trying to get a publishing deal, and having a book published. And it was stressing her out, and she realised what she really loves is the writing process. So she's returned to allowing that to be what she does. She writes with no expectation or even any intention to do anything with what she writes. So that's the first thing I'd encourage you to think about. Why are you writing? Are you writing to put yourself into this whole realm of a rejection society that the world of publication requires us to be part of? Or are you writing for a bit of therapy for yourself to help you feel better about something, or just because you love the whole process of writing? Okay, next, let's assume then that you absolutely are wanting to get yourself an agent. We need to set our expectations in place. And one of the problems we have is that there is no one single company, if you like, of agents. We are going around masses of agencies. I think I read somewhere that there's in excess of 400 agencies. I don't know if that's correct, but I read it somewhere that there's in excess of 400 agencies in the UK alone. So if we're going to then start approaching these agencies, inevitably, they've all got their own way of doing things. They are not one homogenous group of people who are working to one homogenous way of doing things. Now, in my day job, I'm a program manager, so I work on a series of projects. There is a standard way of managing projects. So wherever you go, whether you work like I do in the NHS, or if you go and work in education, or if you go and work in industry, you're still going to follow pretty much the same kind of process for project management. The same is not true from one agency to the next. So in terms of setting our expectations, we actually need to remind ourselves that there is no one way of doing this. And therefore, we need to accept that we have to go by the rules set by each agency. That's possibly going to be irritating. But you know what? You can create a table or a spreadsheet. I like spreadsheets. I love Excel. But you can simply do this in a table. It doesn't even have to be on your computer. You can do it handwritten in a notebook. And one of the columns, you note down what agencies are requiring from you. What are their rules of submission? That way, you make it really easy for yourself to know what is it that you are going to have to do if you're going to submit to this agency. Okay, so we need to set our expectations based on this reality of there is no consistent way of working. Once you know that, that kind of puts you into the process of, the job isn't to look for how it's consistent, the job of querying. The job for us is to make sure we follow the rules. The next thing to think about is to set expectations in terms of what is going to happen next. And I come across so many posts on Twitter where people are really upset or offended because agents haven't sent a response. They haven't acknowledged receipt. They haven't sent a personalised rejection. They've sent a form rejection. They haven't made some comment about, this is what you could have done differently for me to have picked your novel up, and so on. The list carries on. And in fact, I asked on Twix, what is it that bugs you about querying? And pretty much everybody was saying it was things like being ghosted, it is tumbleweed, it's the fact that they don't hear, that they only get a form rejection, that they don't hear for many, many months, and they have no idea when they're going to hear back, and so on and so on. The reality is we have to set our expectations based on how the world of publishing works. Whatever it is that you know as a standard from your work life, from what you were taught as being, this is how you should handle emails. So an email comes in, you send an acknowledgement. Forget that. It's not going to work the way that it works in other parts of your life. It's not going to work based on people go on to Twix saying, this is how it should be, and I didn't get it, and I think it should be like this. Forget it. It doesn't matter that that's what people want the industry to do. So I guess what I'm saying is, and I don't mean this in a rude way, but we all need to ditch the entitlement, because we're not actually entitled to anything. And I'll come back to that one in a moment, because I can imagine that I just heard a sharp intake of breath at me saying we need to ditch the entitlement, because we're not actually entitled to anything when we query an agent. So we need to set our expectations based on reality, not a dream that we have, not on how things work in another part of our life. So let's start off with the first one of those. Number one, let's expect not to hear anything at all. Number two, we are going to expect if we do hear anything, it will be a form rejection. And number three, we are going to expect that if we are going to hear anything back, it's going to take many months. And you know the best way of handling that one? Set your own deadline. If I haven't heard back from this group of agents by, and give yourself, I gave myself 3 months. So if these agents haven't come back to me within 3 months, I'm going to query my next set of agents. And I did, I think it was 7 agents at a time. It was 7 agents the first time, it was 10 agents the second time. And so I knew that I was giving them only 3 months. And the way that I did that, and the reason why I said no, it was 10, is because when I got a rejection, so I got 2 rejections really fast, not quite overnight, but literally within the first couple of days. So there was something that just didn't fit right for them. And that's absolutely okay. I knew within those couple of days. So I sent 2 more out straight away. And then I heard another one back within 2 weeks, another no, and I sent another one to replace that. So straight away, I have set this expectation for myself of 3 months. Then it becomes that I'm in control. And I think a lot of the problem with where our expectations are at is that we don't feel like we're in control. So you know what? Let's put ourselves back in the driving seat. If I've not heard back within the next 3 months, by the end of that 3 months, I am going to send out my next list of queries. That way, you know that that's the end of the road for those agencies. They didn't bother responding in 3 months. I'm moving on to somebody else now. If you hear back after that, great, particularly if it's a positive. If it's a negative, great, you heard back. I heard back from one agent, despite me having written an email saying, I did send you a query. I have actually now signed with an agent. I wanted to let you know. I did send the previous one as well, by the way, of saying, I've got an agent who's interested. If you're interested, you might want to nudge my novel up the pile so that you can have a look at it. I think it was 9 months after I'd signed with my agent that I got the rejection. Fine, that's okay. I really appreciate that he did send me a rejection, but it didn't matter. It's irrelevant. So that's what you're going to do. You are going to set expectations for yourself and put yourself into the driving seat. You're going to expect not to hear anything. You're going to expect to receive a form rejection. And you are going to expect that after 3 months, you will move on to your next group of agents on your list. Incidentally, my agent Claire Coombs was in my first list. I sent out to my second list and immediately said to her, do you know, Claire, I just want to stick with you, because you are the person I would choose to have as my agent. So, you know, sometimes you can do that and realise, no, I've actually got an offer here of somebody that I want to go with. Okay, how do we then think of this in the context of realism when I say that we need to ditch the entitlement? Have you ever thought about the fact, and you may have thought about this, but I'm going to bring this up in case you haven't thought about it. Have you ever thought about the fact that agents are not getting paid to look at all the submissions they get, every query they get that they're looking at without being paid for it. The people who are paying them are the writers that they've got on their list. That's who they're actually working for. But what they want to do is to add to that list. And so they will take a punt on somebody that they think, do you know what? I think this is a novel I could probably get a deal on. So that's somebody else I'm going to add to my list. I've had a look through agencies and it does vary in terms of who do they have that's active on their list. It seems to vary from around about 10 up to about 50. Now, I'm saying 50, they may not all be absolutely active, but there are lists of around about 10 active authors up to probably around about 50 active authors. That being active will vary from author to author. Some of them maybe are doing a new novel every year. Others, it might be every couple of years or so. But we've got agents there who have got a series of people that these are the people that are paying their wages. The people who are querying are not. They are potential prospects that could go onto the list to earn money from. But the reality is, it's only somewhere between 1 and 5%. And again, I did some research into this. Some articles that I read said it was at 1%, some said it was 3%, some said it's 5% of queries are then picked up to put onto the agent's list. That doesn't mean that they're then going to get the publishing deal. So they're still not necessarily going to be paid from having picked up that 1 to 5%. So let's go with the middle of the road there and say 3%. It still doesn't mean they're going to get paid from those authors. They're going to have to put in a lot of work and still might not get paid from them. So we need to keep in mind that agents are inundated with queries. Again, the data on this varies. So I found anything from 25 queries per week up to 300 queries per week. Now, I don't know whether that's queries per agent or queries per agency. And so that might be why those numbers vary. But the average that I found was that an agent could receive around about an average of 50 queries per week. So that's an average of 50 queries per week. If we base it on that lowest number of 25 queries per week, and let's just be really conservative here and say that it takes 1 hour per query to have a look at the synopsis that's been sent through, the sample of the writing, which is anything from 3,000 words to 10,000 words. If it's an hour to work through that, and I think that's being truly conservative, and then it takes 5 minutes per, you know, if they wrote that email that was a personalised email, to do a personalised one is going to take probably 5 minutes, possibly more. So 25 queries per week at an hour per query is 25 hours of time, plus 5 minutes per email is going to be around 2 hours of writing out those personalised emails, which is 27 hours per week for work they're not getting paid for. Just let that soak in for a moment. 27 hours of their week to go through the queries for work that they're not being paid for. Chances are they're doing that work in their own time, not in time that they're getting paid for by the agency. So we need to keep in mind that if they're working, let's say they're working a 37-hour week, I think it's probable that they're paid for 35 hours and possibly work 45, 50 hours a week. But let's say that they're working 35 hours a week. That's what they're contracted to work. Sorry, I was going to say 37 hours. I've just reduced that. So 37 hours, that gives them 10 hours now. 10 hours to be able to do the work that they're paid for. And the work they're paid for is to represent the authors on their list. Now, if you think about that, that means that if we asked them to do all of this personalised work and to spend a lot of time on what we have submitted with our query, they're actually doing more work for nothing than they are being paid for. That's not realistic. That is not a model that can work. And the commission they get, so they'll get, and it does vary slightly, but let's just take again a rough estimate of it being 20% commission on the advance and on the royalties. So if you've got an advance of, I'm going to make this really difficult for myself, aren't I? If we've got an advance of £1,000, let's take it as that, because that then makes it really easy. That means that they get £200 from that advance. If the author then sells out the advance, then they'll start making 20% on the royalties. That means they've got to have authors who are hugely successful every time in order for them to make a realistic income. But do you know how much they actually get paid? The majority of agents, apparently, are paid less than £25,000 per year. Of course, we have outliers to that. Of course, we have. When you average that and say that the average is less than 25%, less than £25,000 per annum, there obviously are people who are paid an awful lot more than that. But the reality is, if we have this expectation that agents are going to do this detailed read through of everything I have sent through and then do me a detailed response of what I should be doing in order to get picked up so that I know what's going on, and this is where the entitlement comes in, do you not think that actually is too much for somebody who's not getting paid much anyway and is then having to do loads of work outside of what they get paid for? So I think we've got to have this dose of realism in what we expect. And I know this is hard. I sat there, the moment that I clicked send on all my emails, I sat there refreshing because I wanted to know if I was going to get at least the response that said, thanks very much, we've received your query pack. I did get some. They were obviously just like an out of office reply. It was obviously just an automatic response that was set up. And that was lovely that I got those. I got a personalized response from my agent, and that was lovely, but that was because she liked what she'd seen. So you get the sense here that actually they are so inundated, we cannot expect to get the things that we wish we would, even though we're going to sit there desperate to hear from these people, even though it's a nerve-wracking experience, even though we just want a bit of feedback and to know, how are we doing? But that's not the agent's job. So my advice to you, if you do want to get that kind of response, it's time for you to look for agent one-to-one sessions. So Jericho Writers do agent one-to-ones. I Am In Print does agent one-to-ones. There are festivals and events where you can book one-to-ones as well. I think the RNA conference in August has some agent one-to-ones with that. The London Festival of Writing, which Jericho Writers does, as part of your ticket price, you get agent one-to-ones. So it's really useful to look for those opportunities to have agent one-to-ones. They're only short, 10-15 minutes, but they will have read your query pack and they will give you that feedback. I do hear stories where people say it wasn't what they expected. Some of that is down to make sure you do your research well before you choose who it is going to be. Don't look for the absolute top-notch agent every time. They are going to get inundated with everybody wanting to book in the one-to-one with them. Don't be frightened of the new agents. New agents are hungry for it. I had somebody, I won't mention names, I had somebody who criticised me for having gone with a relatively new agent. Claire was not new at that point, but this person's perspective was that I had gone with a brand new agent. My view is, aside from she's not completely new, she's been mentored by far more experienced agents as well. But on top of that, Claire is hungry for it. She needs to have the successes. And so she's going to support me. And I think that there is something about understanding that some of those really big name agents may not have time for the majority of us because they've already got a full list and they're looking for that something really special, which, let's face it, most of us have not written that something really special. We've written something good. We've written something readers are going to enjoy. Is it that something really special? Possibly not. And even books that I would say are really special, Lessons in Chemistry, Bonnie Garmus talks about the fact that she got, I think it was in the 80s, but you know, masses of rejections before somebody said, this is that really special book that I want to represent. So even really special novels can get rejected. But she kept on, she persevered until she was picked up. And there are plenty of stories of that kind of thing. But through the rest of this series, we will have a look at some other elements about how you make sure that your submission pack is right, how you make sure that you are doing the work that you need to do on your manuscript, and also be talking with an agent. And I'm trying to also see if I can talk to either Jericho Writers or I Am in Print to have that perspective of the agent one-to-ones for you as well, so that you get some information on that too. But I think for today, the message to take away is set your own expectations, put yourself into the driving seat, and think about what the experience is for an agent. And here's a little exercise for you to do over the next month. Put yourself into the position of being an agent. If you haven't got a library ticket, go and get a library ticket. And my suggestion is you pretend you're an agent for a month and read the first three chapters of 200 books that are roughly within the genre that you like to read or that your novel is written in. So mine's feel-good fiction, uplit fiction. I would then go off and read the first three chapters of a range of romance books, a range of rom-coms, a range of feel-good fiction books, a range of women's book club fiction books. That will now give me the kind of context that the agents that I was querying were saying were on their wish list. So read the first three chapters, just the first three chapters, and ask yourself, how many of those books that you read the first three chapters do you love enough to stake your income on? Not love enough to carry on reading it, but how many of them do you love enough to stake your income on? And see at the end of the month how many of those you now feel as though you'd want to put time in to do a little bit of detailed summary, understand what it is you want from the novel, and get back to the author. How many would you put time into not being paid for it? So I think that's a nice little test. If you're finding the rejection process really difficult, that's a nice little test to go off and do. Pretend you're an agent for a month and see what that experience feels like not getting paid for it. All right, I'll leave you to it. So happy pretending to be an agent for a month. Happy writing. Happy editing if that's where you're at as well. May the words all flow for you, and I'll see you on the next episode.